Open your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 10. Let's get right into the Word of God. By the way, guys, if you're signing up or haven't signed up for that advance yet, see Ryan Schneider. Raise your hand real high, Ryan. See Ryan after church. He'll get that all taken care of for you on the registration side of things. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank... Are the kids in today?
Yes.
Oh, this is awesome. All the little people. All right, awesome. You're being so quiet. I didn't even realize they're so mature in our midst. It's awesome. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you for the Holy Spirit illuminating our hearts now, revealing truth to us in Jesus. Open our eyes to see, open our ears to hear you, Lord, and turn our hearts so that we can be healed and our families healed in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Romans 10, 9 and 10. I know you're familiar with it, but let's put our eyes on it. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, these are the two parts that make up saving faith. What are they again? Believing in the heart, confessing with the mouth. Amen? Two parts. That's what got you in the door. Now that you're in the kingdom, now that you're born again, you're a child of God, what do we do when we want to obtain any other blessing in the kingdom? We believe in our heart, confess with our mouth. Amen? Belief without confessing is incomplete faith. Confessing without believing is incomplete faith. You got to have both. Amen? It's real simple. God doesn't make things too complicated for us. I think even a five-year-old could understand that. Two things, right? Not three, not four, not five. Two things. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. It's real simple. God keeps it real simple for us. Both of these must be in operation in order for faith to be effective. You know, sometimes we're growing in one area or the other. You might have a lot of faith in your heart, but you're not used to saying things. But confessing is part of it. Confessing is a big part of releasing faith. In fact, it's like having, you know, a really, really powerful weapon, a gun, a bazooka, or whatever, a rocket launcher, but you never pull the trigger. Because if you don't confess, if you don't release your faith through speaking, you haven't pulled the trigger yet. Are you with me? All right, so it's not about potential power, it's about exercised power. Amen? Exercised power. That's what faith is all about. You got to exercise it. Well, the Bible tells us in Romans 10, 17, same chapter, a few verses down, it says, faith comes by hearing.
Amen.
I love that phrase, faith comes. You know, sometimes you're walking in a place of defeat in an area and you go, man, I got to get my act together in this area. I got to have God move in this area, whether it's healing, finances, relationships. And so you start believing God. And when you first start out, maybe you have like 2% faith out of 100%. You got like this minuscule level of faith in your heart. But what do? You take a promise in the Bible and you start speaking it. Maybe you tape it on your mirror, tape it on your closet door. You start declaring what God says about that situation. And it feels like you're, you know, literally like you're taking a shovel to, you know, Mount Rainier or something. You know, you're trying to dig this mountain out of your life, and it's like one shovel load at a time. But I'm telling you, faith will work.
Amen.
Faith will move mountains.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes it just takes a while. It takes patience. I like the illustration I heard one man share. He said, if you had a coffee cup full of, you know, kind of dried in, baked in really good, you know, coffee, the bottom of the cup, so to say, and you take that thing and you're wanting to clean that cup out, what do? You put it under, you know, running water, and you let that water run and run and run. And, well, I mean, unless you're going to exercise some muscle and scrub, but you just let the water run. What will water do? It'll eventually break that stuff up and wash it out. And that's what the water of the word does in our life. Amen. Sometimes you got to speak it. And you think, man, I'm getting tired of doing this. But, you know, there's some dried stains in there. There's some stuff that has to come out. It's called unbelief, doubt and unbelief. Amen. And, you know, the way things have always been. If you're trying to, for example, you're trying to climb out of a financial hole and you grew up in a family that was just poverty stricken or poverty minded. I mean, you know, a poverty mentality is tough to overcome. Amen. It's tough. I was walking in it years ago myself. I mean, I was a Christian, but I would hear preachers on TV talk about this or that or the blessing of God, and I'd get annoyed at them. Why? Because I was hurting, and I had that they owe me attitude. I had that attitude in life that, you know, the world, it's permeating in the world that somebody owes me, right? When my ship comes in, one of these days my ship will come in, someone will just put something in my mailbox, right? Like they owe it to me. And you got to lose that kind of lousy attitude. That's a worldly, selfish, self-centered attitude. And if that's prevalent in your life, you're going to have to pour in the Word of God over and over and over and wash that junk out to get your spirit ready to receive. But how many of you know there's a wonderful moment when your faith has come up to a certain level? It's come up in your heart. The faith has increased. You've been speaking the Word, declaring it. And that the Bible says faith comes. I liken that to this mysterious moment in which your faith just rises to the right level where you can just reach out and take hold of that thing, whatever it is. Amen. But nobody can predict how long it'll take. I heard one person say, if you're not seeing the results fast enough, up your confessing level. If you're confessing 3 times a day, up it to 6. Amen. And you can increase, or you can move the timeline, so to say, of how quick that blessing comes into your life by your exertion of faith. Are you with me?
Yes.
Faith will come. Faith will come. We've heard a couple times this last week analogies about car engines. Engines are made to run on a certain type of fuel. And you put the wrong thing, you put Kool-Aid in a diesel engine, you're going to have problems, right? Listen, your life and the power of God in your life is meant to run on faith. And if you've got doubt and unbelief in your heart, That's like putting the wrong stuff in your engine. You got to have the right stuff in your engine, and it comes through the Word of God. It's not like you have to have 50 promises. Just take 2 or 3 about whatever it is you're believing for. I heard the story I've shared with you before. Olivia Lim is a multimillionaire on her way to becoming a billionaire lady in Singapore, and Olivia Lim took one promise. And it essentially built her financial empire on one promise from the Word of God, John 10:10. He has come that I might have life and have it abundantly, have it to its fullest. She stood on that one promise and literally went from poverty to, what we would call mega wealth. But it was believing that one promise from the Word of God. So you don't have to have 50 promises. Just get a hold of some promise of God and stand on it. Praise the Lord. Well, these two components, believing in our heart, confessing with our mouth, comprise what we call the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith. Say that with me. The spirit of faith. 2 Corinthians 4. Would you turn over there, please? Couple books to the right. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. Let's read that verse together. I like it in the King James. It's what was on our business card years ago when we first started the church. It was part of our slogan. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Paul is quoting actually from Psalms. If you look in your footnotes, some of your Bibles We'll put a reference out to the side. What this is actually a quote from the Old Testament from Psalm 116 and verse 10. I want to encourage you to go home and read Psalm 116:10 in the God's Word translation. The God's Word. If you have the Bible app, that you version on your phone, go look at Psalm 116:10 in the God's Word edition. It really clarifies it for you. But let's read it here in 2 Corinthians 4:13. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, quote, and here's where he begins quoting the Old Testament, I believed, read it out loud with me, I believed and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. Amen? We believe, but we don't stop there. What do? We speak, because faith is not released until you speak. It's a two-part thing. When I worked in the piano shop years ago, sometimes the guys would be, pianos are made of a lot of wooden parts, leather, you got wood, leather, felt, these natural ingredients, and sometimes a little wooden piece would break and they would have to glue, it's kind of a super glue they would work with to glue these parts together, and what they would do is they had this glue called Zap-A-Gap. Anybody worked with Zap-A-Gap before? Okay, Robert, yeah, of course, piano guy. And so they would take this, and it was two parts. You had to mix one little part, and you had to put the catalyst on there. And the minute you put the catalyst on, that stuff would heat up. I mean, it would fuse like welding. But it took two components. One was the liquid, and then the catalyst that kind of activated the liquid, so to say. And then it became a bonding agent. Well, that's what faith is like. Faith works with the belief in our heart, the confession of our mouth. It's a two-part element. God looked at creation in the beginning. He stood before the heavens and all that was not yet created. Actually, he stared into a vast expanse of darkness, and he countered it with two words, light be. Light be. And he created day and night. He didn't stand in front of darkness and say, wow, it's really black out here. No, he didn't speak what he saw. He spoke what he wanted. He spoke what was in his heart to believe for, light. And he declared what he did not see. Listen, I know you've heard this slogan before. I'm going to reiterate it today. I'm going to hammer it in. Don't say what you see. Say what you want. Amen. Your kids acting like little mongrels. Don't say what you see. Say what you want. Right? Speak over them. They're obedient. They respect their parents. They honor their parents. Amen. Speak, find some scriptures that tell kids what they should be doing and speak that word over them. I'm not saying while they're in your presence, when you're in your prayer closet. Amen. Declare that over your kids. Amen. Hallelujah. My child honors his father and mother and they will live long in the earth. Yes. Amen. Amen. You declare what the word says. Don't say what you're seeing. That's not what God did. Abraham was 99 years old. He saw wrinkles, gray hair, and barrenness. But he chose to take on a name that God gave him, which meant father of many nations. So every time Sarah called him for dinner, she was saying, father of many nations, come to dinner, right? Because his name had been changed from Abram to Abraham, father of many nations. He didn't even have one child yet, but he changed his name. He changed what he was speaking about himself, and his whole life changed. This is not magic, folks. Magic imitates the truth of God. All the works of darkness imitate the true power of God. This is the power of God. This is not mind over matter. This is how God created our universe. This is the real deal. Amen? And you and I are called as children of God to walk like God, which means what? We believe in our heart something, and we say with our mouth. Amen? We declare what God is calling us to declare. You know, Satan's age-old strategy with Christians is to put the pressure on us with circumstances and things that we see so tough. It's like the old mob boss, you know, he would say, all right, Tommy, I want you to go squeeze him until he talks, you know. They try to get somebody to fess up. That's the devil's strategy with us. He wants to pressure us until we say what? We say what we're seeing. Oh, my finances, they're just crumbling. You know, another thing broke down. He wants to get you pressured so that you speak the pressure around you instead of speaking faith. Amen. Why? Because Satan can't do anything in our life without our consent.
That's right.
Did you hear me? Yes. You know, he cannot put anything into your world that you don't allow through your either unbelief, wrong confession, wrong attitude, unforgiveness. There's a myriad of stuff that we can do to open the door to him. Amen. But he cannot just steamroll a believer. Amen. Are you with me?
Yes.
He has no authority. Even in the garden, when he came to Adam and Eve, he didn't just come in and wipe them out and say, I'm taking over the earth. You know, technically speaking, he probably was physically taller as an angel. He was a former angel in heaven, right? So in terms of physique or strength, outward comparison to man, you know, a 6-foot-high Adam, he probably was more looming, more immense, but he had no power. Amen. Except what Adam gave him.
That's right.
And Eve. It was a dual thing, right? It's a dual mistake. Praise the Lord. Someone needs to hear that today. Yes. Satan cannot steamroll your life unless you allow it. Now listen, the attacks of the devil feel like he's gaining ground. Because you say, well, Pastor, such and such happened to me last week. You know, it counters what you're saying. I'm telling you, when the enemy comes in, he's so arrogant. He's so bold. He's so obnoxious that when he attacks us in an area, it seems like he's already won. You ever relate to that? You know, a sickness hits your body, a symptom hits your body, and you think, I'm already in the lost position. I'm behind the eight ball. You feel like you've already lost. It's a lie.
That's right.
It's a lie. He's trying to pressure you. He's trying to put the squeeze on you so that you'll say what he wants you to believe.
Hallelujah.
But the truth is what's in this book.
Yes.
Amen? This is what we're to declare, the truth. This is truth. Truth is higher than circumstances.
Yes.
It's higher than your body's feelings, your body's aches or pains or symptoms. Truth is higher.
Yes.
And if you'll speak truth, believe it in your heart, speak it with your mouth, you'll see a turnaround in that area. Amen? It's true. Abraham waited 20 years to see a change. 20 years. How long are you willing to wait for God's promises to be made real in your life? He waited 20 years. Joshua and Caleb, returned from spying out the land when they were sent in by Moses along with 10 other spies. And they were ready to go into battle. That day they were like, man, the land is good. They got back to the camp. They said, look at this fruit, these grapes they had to carry on a pole between two men. That's a big grape cluster, okay? Imagine that. They were the size of probably pomegranates or grapefruits. These are big grapes. And they said, the land's good. It's full of blessing. Let's go take it. But these two giants of the faith had a bigger mountain to move than the actual people that lived in Canaan. And it was these 2 million plus unbelieving Hebrews that stood before them. And with their mouth, they literally sank the whole purpose of God. I'm talking about the Jews, not the two spies. Let's look in Numbers 13 where that happened. Numbers 13 in your Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Y'all pray for me. I'm about to start Leviticus next week in my Bible readings. Oh, mercy. Praise God. I have grace to get through Leviticus. Numbers 13. Numbers 13, verse 26. The spies have just come back, and they're giving their report to Moses. Numbers 13, 26. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh. And they brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation. They showed them the fruit of the land. They told them, we came into the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, say nevertheless. What is nevertheless? That's the voice of doubt speaking, right? You know, like when the disciples said to Jesus, they said, well, there's a little boy here with two fish and five loaves. And then Andrew speaks up. But what is that among so many? That awful word, but, or nevertheless, it's whatever follows right behind that is the voice of unbelief speaking. And they say, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. He said, let's go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. He had a different way of speaking about things, didn't he? Verse 31, the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people. They are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report. You know what an evil report is? An evil report is what you see with your eyes, what your senses tell you. That's an evil report. When things are going wrong in your life, don't go by what you see and what you sense. That's the evil report. They brought up an evil report from the land they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we had gone to search, it's a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. Ooh, scary. And the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight like grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now skip down to chapter 14. Verse 6, chapter 14, verse 6. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. That means they tore their clothes. That was a sign of exasperated mourning or extreme grief when someone would tear their clothes. It's not normal for people to do that. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search is exceeding good. And if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. That's good talk right there. The enemy is bread for us. Their defense is departed, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. I want to back up. The Holy Spirit just quickened me on something right here. I want to back up to this verse. This land that flows with milk and honey. You know, the things of God flow. Isn't it crazy that millions of Jews would rebel against God giving them a land that literally flowed with milk and honey? In other words, you don't have to work hard. You're just going to walk into this land. It's just going to be there for you. It's going to be easy. Did you know God's ways are easy? God's financial prosperity for you and I is easy compared to striving in our own strength and our own efforts. It's easy. And yet the human mind resists it with doubt and unbelief. Now, the Holy Spirit's reminding us today, folks, if you're a child of God, you're called to the place in which the land flows. Yes. Amen? If something's not working right, if you're hitting your head against the wall over and over and over again in an area, it could be that you're trying in your own strength instead of sitting back and resting and letting things flow. Because the promised land flows. Amen. The Lord wants to remind somebody of that here today. The promised land flows for you and I. We don't have to strive. It's there. The flow is there for us. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, David in 1 Samuel 17, he faced a giant like these Israelites faced giants. He faced a giant named Goliath. And if you look in 1 Samuel 17, don't turn there now. Go home and read it. But you'll see this phrase over and over again. Then David said, he said what? He said to the men around him, he said, who's going to take care of this giant and knock his head off? Then he stands before Saul and he says, don't be afraid of this giant, David said. And then he stands before the giant and he says, today I'm taking your head off. There was a lot of saying going on in 1 Samuel 17. I hope you'll see that David learned to talk to his circumstances, and faith speaks to the circumstances. Amen. Faith commands the wind. Faith commands the waves. Faith speaks. And it doesn't speak based on what it sees. It speaks according to the promise of God. Amen. That's what David did. Praise the Lord. Jesus did the same thing. We saw last week in Mark chapter 11. You can go ahead and turn over there. We're going to read some verses there real quick. Jesus faced a fig tree that had all leaves and no fruit. And he said, no fruit, no future. He spoke to that tree. He replied to the tree. He said, no fruit for me today. After he'd come from this long journey, he was hungry, tired. Just, you know, he was human. He was in a human body. And he said, you got no fruit for me? No future for you. And he cursed that tree at its roots, and the Bible says it withered immediately. The Matthew's gospel says it withered immediately. Mark's gospel said they discovered it the next day, okay? But we know that Jesus, when he spoke the word, there was no unbelief in his heart. Amen? Jesus didn't have to do like you and I, where we have to confess, read the promise, get all this coffee washed out of our cup. No, he just spoke, and there was 100% faith there in his words, and the mountain moved. The fig tree died. Amen? Mark 11, are you there? Let's look at verse 21. Mark 11, verse 21, Peter points out to Jesus what happened to the tree. Peter's the tour guide, if you will, of the 12. And he says, Master, verse 21 of Mark 11, he called to remembrance. He said, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, now this blows my mind. Look at verse 22. This really shakes up the whole experience for the disciples, because Jesus could have said, well, of course it withered. I'm Jesus, the Son of God. You know, he could have taken on this bold, you know, well, what did you expect, Peter? I mean, I said for it to die. What, you know, I'm Jesus. I'm the Son of God. The tree has to die. No, he didn't say that at all. He says, read it together with me, verse 22. The last part, have faith in God. Read it again. Have faith in God. Some translations break that out, and actually it can go either way. It could mean have faith in God. The Young's literal translation says have the faith of God. Last week we shared with you in the Aramaic language that Jesus spoke in that time. He could speak Greek. He could also speak Aramaic, which was closer to the original Jewish language. And he would have said something along the lines of, have God-like faith. Have God-like faith. Basically, what is Jesus saying to the disciples? You can do it too. I mean, why would he bother going down this teaching track of how to have faith to move mountains? Like I said, he could have just said, well, of course it withered. I'm Jesus. No, he didn't say that. He said, you have faith in God. You have God-like faith. You have the kind of faith that God exerted when he created the universe from nothing. What does that faith do? It believes in the heart. It confesses with the mouth, right? Look at verse 23. What does he say? For verily I say unto you, you should circle that word you, underline it. That's talking to you personally. Again, we don't read the Bible. The Bible's not just full of good Bible stories of, you know, great stories of what Jesus did because he was mighty. Yes, he did mighty things. But then he did them as an example of the children of God who would follow behind him, what they would do, what you and I would do. Amen. And he says here, you have the faith of God, for I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, read it out loud with me if you have King James or up on the screen, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. The question is, who's willing to say it? Right? It's one thing to know the promise. It's one thing to believe in your heart, man, I know God doesn't want this in my life. He doesn't want poverty. He doesn't want sickness. He doesn't want my kids acting crazy. He doesn't want this stuff in my life. It's one thing to know it in your heart. It's another thing to begin pulling the trigger day after day after day and on multiple times daily, right? Depending on how hard the situation is you're facing. And Jesus says, whosoever shall say. Isaiah said it like this in Isaiah 53:1. We've been studying this on Wednesday nights with our study in Ephesians. Lord, who hath believed our report? Who's going to see the arm of the Lord display his power? Of course, the implication is whoever believes, right? Whoever believes the report will see the arm of the Lord display his power. But Jesus says here, whosoever shall say. I love that word, whosoever. That is an open book promise for you and I.
Yes.
It's not just for the preacher. It's not just for the evangelist, the guy on TV, or you know, someone that you consider to have great faith. It's for you, child of God. If you're a son, a daughter of God, you have the power to speak to the mountain,
yes,
to declare what God says about your situation and see it change.
That's right.
Right before your eyes. Praise the Lord. Well, 2023, I believe, is going to be a year for us to move mountains.
Amen.
Amen. You know, so many times we just sit back and let things just, you know, we talk about how bad things are, even Christians. What do? We rehearse the giants.
Yeah.
We rehearse how big the walls are. We rehearse how mean the people are in the promised land that we're about to invade. And we just like those spies, those unbelieving spies, we talk about the problem instead of talking to the problem. When we talk about the problem, we get sympathy, but no change, right? So the question is, do you want change or do you want you want a truckload of sympathy or do you really want change? You don't have to answer that out loud. I know what the Christian answer is. We want change. Don't answer that. Answer it in your heart. Because the truth is, if you're willing, the truth is only that which you speak to is going to change. Not that which you speak about. That will just stay the same and you'll get some sympathy from people around you that love you and want to pat you on the back and say, yeah, no, honey, I know it's really bad. You can stay in bad or you can see some change in 2023. Amen?
Yes.
Listen, when we speak to the mountain and we see it move from our life, we are partnering with God. Because listen, God doesn't want that mountain in your life. He doesn't want that negativity in your way. He doesn't want those problems in your family, your health, your finances. He doesn't want that stuff. He is compassionate, and he has given us the key to see change.
Yes. Amen.
And what is that key? Whosoever will say unto the mountain. Notice three times it says in verse 23, whosoever shall say unto the mountain and shall not believe in his heart, but shall believe that which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. The emphasis in that verse is definitely on saying. Amen?
Amen.
But, you know, faith speaks, doubt doesn't. So if you need some things moved out of your life in this year, it's time to start doing some saying.
Amen.
Saying. It takes discipline.
Yeah.
And it takes faith. For a guy, you know, 99 years old to call himself father of many nations, that takes faith. He's looking in the mirror day after day and hairline's moving back. One more wrinkle on the forehead. You know, it's changing. Things are changing before his eyes. But nothing's changed outwardly as far as him having a miracle son. But he keeps calling himself Abraham. Because he's willing to say something different than what he's seen with his eyes. We're going to look probably next week at verse 24 where Jesus talks about prayer. Verse 23 is about saying. Verse 24 is about praying. You know, there's a difference. There's a time to pray to God. There's a time to say to your mountain.
That's right. Yes. Yes.
You got to discern by the Holy Spirit. What is this time? How do I deal with this problem? Do I pray and ask God or do I speak? Does God say, you lift up your rod, Moses, and you split the Red Sea? That's what he told Moses. He said, why are you crying out to me? You go over there and split the Red Sea. Lift up your rod and take the children of Israel across. That's what he told Moses. Read it for yourself.
Yes.
Exodus 14, 15. There's a time to say, there's a time to pray, yes. There's a time to pray about certain things. But there's a time to say.
Yes.
When we say, we're partnering with God to authorize his work in the earth. I know that seems almost It could seem like sacrilegious or irreverent. But you know, the Bible tells us very clearly that God has authorized certain things on our shoulders in the earth. Matthew 28, Jesus said, "All authority and power is given unto me, therefore you go." And he took off. Yeah, he could have stayed here on earth and gone around and preached the gospel himself. Said, "Hey, I'm Jesus. I just rose from the dead. Will you believe in me?" And people probably would. No, but he sent us with his authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and lay hands on the sick. Amen. And cast out devils. He sent us. He said, "The authority's in me. Now you go." And he left the authority with the church here in the earth. So he's put some things in our hands, hasn't he? He's given us the authority, and he's given us the commission to do some things with it. Psalm 115:16, one of my favorite verses. The highest heavens, excuse me, start that over. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. Psalm 115:16. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. See, earth is meant to be a reflection of the kingdom of heaven that's out there. You know, heaven's out there somewhere. We don't know how far out there it is. But it's out there. But it's also nearby. Amen? When you need it, he's nearby. Amen? God's near. But heaven's out there. But the earth is a physical reflection of the authority that operates in heaven. Right? What did Jesus say? "Your kingdom come, your will be done." Go ahead. Let me hear you. "On earth as it is in heaven." So earth is meant to be a direct reflection of what's going on in heaven. I'm going to close with this verse. If you're writing, taking notes, John 9:4. John 9:4. We're reading through the Gospel of John right now. In many places, Jesus makes comments like this. John 9:4, he says, "Night comes when no man can work." You know, we're on a time clock right now, church. Do you realize that? Night's coming. There's coming a day in which the people of our land and throughout the world will give their allegiance to a one world leader. Bible called, Christians typically refer to him as the Antichrist. You know, we saw this a few years ago when the government put pressure on us to wear a mask we didn't want to wear. Yep. And people took a mask. Someday they're going to take a mark. Yeah. Right hand or forehead, the Bible says. But that day's coming. It's coming quick. It's coming quick. That's not a scary thing for us believers, right? We have promise. What is the promise? The promise of his coming, yes. Right? So don't be afraid. All right? You know, we're not going to be left behind. We're going. Amen. But until then, we realize the clock is ticking and night cometh when no man can work. This is the hour in which to work. This is the time when we have daylight. We have the grace of God. We have the tools, the Holy Spirit power to work the works of Jesus in the earth and to see mountains move around us. This is the time. Because night's coming. This is our hour to work. Amen. And God's calling us as we start off this new year. This message is just a reminder. We got to do some saying.
That's right.
Amen. We got to move some mountains. Amen. Amen. We got some mountains to move. And it's not going to happen. There's certain things God will not do until you do your part. Amen. You know, when Jesus said, "Have faith in God," he's saying, believe in the power of when you believe in your heart and speak with your mouth that God will move the mountain. Amen. We're not moving the mountain.
That's right.
You understand that, right?
Yeah.
We couldn't move squat in our own strength. It's God that does the mountain moving. But he does it in response to what? Our faith. Our faith, which is expressed in believing in the heart, confessing with our mouth.
Amen.
Amen. Stand together with me. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, like I said, Olivia Lim took one promise from the Bible, John 10:10, and she built a financial dynasty there in Singapore with her business. You could take Mark 11:23, and who knows what you could do in your life if you would believe it. Because Jesus said, whosoever, any whosoever's in here?
Yep.
Any takers on that promise?
Oh, yeah.
The proof's in the pudding. It's not about what we mentally assent to, what we mentally say, oh yeah, that's me. It's when you go home tomorrow and the mountain's facing you. It's like right there. And you don't feel like you can get around it. And it's like, oh, that thing annoys me. You can talk about how annoyed you are by that thing, or you can talk to that thing.
Yes.
You can say to that mountain, be removed.
Yes.
Be cast into the sea. And it will obey you. That's what Jesus said. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and tell him thanks for the promise. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that you didn't leave us as orphans. You didn't leave us without power. You have restored Adam's power over the earth. You have restored man's place of power and ability and dignity and the ability to see change. Lord, you've given that back to us. And in this promise that we see in Mark 11:23, Lord, we know that you're calling us to move mountains in this year. And we say yes. We yield our heart to the mountain moving task before us. And we will yield our mouth, Lord. We will give our life over to saying to the mountain, be removed. Be removed so that we can see the power of God at work. Hallelujah. We thank you for activating our faith today, Holy Spirit, in you. It's not faith in ourselves, it's faith in God. And we thank you, Lord, that through your power, the mountains will move in 2023. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe you're here today and you've not given your life to Jesus. I know we're a household full of regular members, but you never be surprised. You'd be surprised. People can sit in church for years and never really truly be saved. So with our heads bowed for just another moment, I want to invite you to give your life to Jesus Christ. To say, this is my day. I want to be saved. I want my sins forgiven. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. Is there anybody here at all? Just raise your hand real high. I'm not going to embarrass you, but we're going to pray a prayer together in just a moment so that you can give your life to Jesus. Or if you've been away from God and you say, I want to come back to the Lord today. I'm in the house of God. I'm here because God brought me here today and I want to surrender my life to Jesus. Anybody here at all, you say, I'm coming back to him or I'm giving my life to him for the first time. Anybody with a raised hand, just raise your hand real high. And we're going to pray a prayer in a moment for you to do that. Anybody at all? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, let's just pray this prayer together. Dear God, we thank you for sending Jesus to die on our behalf. I believe he died. He was buried. And 3 days later, he rose from the grave. He's now seated at your right hand. And through his shed blood, my sins can be forgiven. Wash me, Father. Cleanse me of my sin. I yield my life to you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Saints, I want to just encourage you to yield your mouth to the Lord this year. It's good. For some of you, it's going to take a big change of habit because we're so used to talking about the problems. I've got a situation in my neighborhood right now that's just, it's working to get under my, you talk about putting the squeeze on, trying to get me to talk. It's trying to get me to talk about the problem. And I just refuse. I'm shifting, aren't I? I'm doing better. I'm shifting gears to talking, from moving from talking about the problem to talking to the problem. Yes. And speaking the word of God over in love. Because we're not out to bash people. No. But there's situations that the enemy tries to put in our way to annoy us through people. Well, you can speak to that situation. You can speak to that spirit that's behind that situation. And you can move that mountain. Amen. God bless you as you go forth this week. Go in the power and the promise of Mark 11:23. That what you say will come to pass. And those mountains will move in Jesus' name. Amen.